It's time for the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller.
Well, it's Thursday afternoon, and welcome to today's episode of the Coaching Perspective. Today, we're going to be talking about coaching using Google's 10 times gain and moonshot system. And I'll bet you're not too sure what that's all about, but let me tease you a little bit about it before we get into it. Are you and your clients settling for just 10% improvement in your coaching and problem solving? How would you like to see a 10 times improvement in results? So we're going to discuss how you might apply Google's moonshot philosophy to your coaching and to your clients' issues. We're going to look at ways in which we can use the same approach that Google uses for solving technology challenges to your coaching and daily thinking. So before we get into that, let me just say that if you're listening to our podcast, then thank you for visiting our website, thecoachingperspective.com. Be sure to check out our archives for other shows with some great guests. And speaking of guests, if you'd like to be on the show, we're always looking for coaches, CEOs, and HR professionals to interview. Just send me an email, doug@thecoachingperspective.com. A couple of announcements before we get lost in today's topic. One, you know, we have been coaching in the Coaching Perspective. We've been coaching executives and business owners for 19 years under the banner of the Coaching Perspective. Helping to create more effective teams is our primary focus. We work with both existing and new management teams and project teams. And in all cases, our goal is to increase not only the productivity of the team, but that of the individual members. We also offer individual coaching from the top executive to the newest entry-level position, coaching for people who want to sharpen their business skills and communication workshops. Okay. Oh, let me also at this point tell you about the programs we've got for October. Boy, it is lining up to be a really exciting month on the show once you get past listening to me today. On October 10th, we're going to have Anita Golden talking about workplace relationships. And she calls her process relationship repair. It's all about improving workplace relationships through a combination of coaching, mediation, and the use of assessment tools to build self-awareness and understand others. On the 17th, hey, we're going to be dark. I deserve a little vacation this year, and I'll be gone that week. On the 24th, we're going to be talking to Dr. Frumi Rachel Barr about the research she did for her new book, A CEO's Secret Weapon, How to Accelerate Success, and how that led to her founding CEO Virtual Roundtables. And on October 31st, well, that's our Halloween special, complete with ghosts and goblins, and we'll tell you more about that as we get closer to that date. Well, let's talk a little bit about today's topic. My goal today is to nudge you a little bit. I wish I had the secret sauce, the answers to the world's coaching problems, business problems to give you, but, you know, I think this may be just as good because you're probably a lot smarter than me, and I want to nudge you to use your brain in a different way. I was inspired for today's talk by two magazine articles, primarily one, but also second. The first was a article written in Wired magazine. It was written by Astro Teller, who is, get this, his title is Captain of Moonshots for Google X. And he has some amazing things to say about how Google deals with and what is their mindset in dealing with their technology problems. And it just really rang a bell with me as to why can't we adopt the same thing, the similarities between what they're doing and what master coaching is all about seem so great to me that I wanted to share that with you today. The other article I want to touch on just briefly was an interview that with Malcolm Gladwell. You know, he is one of my favorite authors. I love his books, The Tipping Point, Blink, Stories of Success, What the Dog Saw. You know, he's just written a variety of books, all of which have really sort of challenged me to think about issues in a different way. And this month, he was interviewed, and the interview is in, of all places, the Costco Connection magazine. Well, you never know where you're going to find genius. anyhow, I want to just kind of give credit to those two articles as and I'll reference them as we talk about it. Let me start out with reading you one of the opening paragraphs in the Wired magazine article that Astro Teller wrote. He says, "Here is the surprising truth. It's often easier to make something 10 times better than it is to make it 10% better. Because when you're working to make things 10% better, you inevitably focus on the existing tools and assumptions and on building on top of an existing solution that many people have already spent a lot of time thinking about. Such incremental progress is driven by extra effort, extra money, and extra resources. And it's tempting to feel improving things this way means we're being good soldiers with the grit and perseverance to continue where others may have failed. But most of the time, we find ourselves stuck in the same old slog." Boy, that just hit home. What a way to start a conversation. 10% improvement is not a great thing. You're thinking too little. And that's what he's saying. 10 times is really what they're shooting for. And this is Google's philosophy. You know, when I relate that to coaching, I think about how often in our coaching do we see clients stuck because of assumptions that are no longer valid or maybe never were valid. And one of the key things that we can do as a coach is to get the client to see the assumptions that they are supporting and evaluate if they, in fact, are still valid. You know, and that kind of ties into this 10% better. When you look to make something 10% better, 10% additional net income this year, 10% more clients, 10% more revenue, what you're doing is you're building on the existing structure without really questioning it. And in coaching, that's really not where we go. We don't start with a clean slate, but I think one of the things that you as master coaches do is you work with the client to sort of identify a clean slate, to peel back the onion, to expose those assumptions, some of which we're aware of and some of which we're not aware of, so that we can then really evaluate things. Well, let me go on with what Teller is saying. He says, "But when you aim for a 10 times gain, you lean instead on bravery and creativity, the kind that literally and metaphorically can put a man on the moon. And you've all heard the story before. Without a clear path to success, when we started, we accomplished in less than a decade a dream several generations in the making. We chose to go to the moon. John F. Kennedy said, not because it was easy, but because it was hard. Suddenly, everyone from school children to the largest institutions were rallying behind the mission. Kennedy understood that the size of the challenge actually motivates people, that bigger challenges create passion, and that counterintuitively makes the hardest things much easier to accomplish than you might think. That's what 10 times does that 10% could never do. 10 times can light a fire in hearts, and it's hard not to get excited and think that other seemingly impossible things might also be possible." You know, this is what it fascinates me so much about coaching. This is what is so exciting about it. It is about making people aware of this tremendous capability they have. So often people come to coaching sort of beaten down sometimes, sort of working down a predetermined path and looking how to go a little faster, a little quicker on the curves, a little faster out of the starting blocks, without really questioning, do I even want to be on this track? And that's what we're talking about here in 10 times gains rather than 10% improvements. You know, I have to share one other quote with you, because this comment by Teller really reminded me of this quote by Marianne Williamson. And let me just read it to you. "Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our fear, our presence automatically liberates others. Wow, that just gives me goosebumps. And to me, that's what coaching is about. That is what a coach does. You know, that my coach stands there for me, supporting me, encouraging me to make me be what I can be, to make me bigger, to make me not afraid to try, to make me not afraid to fail. You know, we are so obsessed about failures, and yet that is how we learn. Look at all the great inventions of all time. Other than a few accidents, and I'm going to call those failures too, because they were inventions as a result of some other objective failing. But most great breakthroughs were the result of multiple failures, time after time after time, until finally things work. You know, I think this statement by Marianne Williamson should be the coaching mantra. Our objective is to help the client to be everything they can be, to not think small, to have confidence, and to stay clear about where they're going in life. You know, and I think that's really what we're talking about here. That's what Teller is talking about in terms of Google's emphasis, not on 10% improvement, but on 10 times gain. Are we thinking big enough? And, you know, to me, that is one of the most fascinating things about coaching. So often people come to coaching with a issue or a number of issues, and they're worth the time to work on, and they're worth the effort and the money that they're going to spend. And there are things for us as coaches to be proud of helping them solve. But really, how inspiring is it when you are working with a client and they have that aha moment, that breakthrough, that all of a sudden they see things differently. They see a place to go that they didn't even know was there. You know, I've often told this story before, but it is one of my favorite, and that is a client that I was coaching who was a great salesman. And through circumstances, he ended up becoming the owner of the company. And the company was growing, and of course it was giving him some issues because he was a salesman. He thought like a salesman, and having to now be the CEO of the company was a real challenge for him. And so he engaged me to work with him in coaching to look at how to better define and better fit his role as CEO. But along the way to achieving that objective, what we discovered is that what really he was passionate about was playing and teaching children chess. He was a master. I don't know the exact title. I knew it, but I've forgotten it now. But he was an early child prodigy chess master, and he played with some of the greats of the world. And when I asked him, well, okay, so you want to teach children chess. That's fun. You get a lot of satisfaction out of it. It's something that you're good at. I understand all that. But what is the big picture here? What is it that really makes you feel good? And he said, you know, Doug, he said, you don't understand, but learning how to play chess at a master level teaches you about the world. It teaches you how to deal with the unexpected. It teaches you to think ahead. It teaches you to plan. And he went on and on with this correlation of how chess can make you a better person or make it easier for you to deal with what's going on in the world. As a result of that conversation, which was sandwiched in between our coaching work on becoming a better CEO, he identified what he really wanted to do. He eventually sold his company. He created a new business teaching children how to play chess. And that's what he does. And it is his passion, and it is what he loves to do. And he is not only good at it, he is totally satisfied with what he's doing. That's what we're talking about here. That's what Teller is talking about when he talks about Google's approach to solving issues, is let's look at the big issues. Let's look at the things that we can get passionate about. You know, he tells a story. I was going to cover this later, but now's a good point. He tells a story, and he says, you know, let me give you an illustration of how things work in Google X. And he talks about, what's his name, Larry Page, that is CEO of the company. And he says, imagine that I wheel into Page's office a machine and plug it in, and it is a time machine, and it works. But instead of being bowled over, what Page does is he says, why does it need a plug? Wouldn't it be better if it didn't use power at all? And it's not because he's not excited about time machines or he's ungrateful that we build it, Teller says. He says, it's just the core of who he is. There's always more to do. And his focus is on where the next 10 times gain is going to really come from. And that's kind of their philosophy. That's the way they operate from. I think as coaches, it provides an inspiration to us. It provides a benchmark of what are we expecting? What are we giving to our clients? 10% improvement or 10 times gain? Let me go on with Teller's comments here. He says, but how can we light this desire to solve huge problems more often and in more people? The only way we can do this is by shifting our focus away from mere 10% improvements, the traditional solutions, towards the 10-time gain, the moonshot. That's what he calls it. 10-time gain is a moonshot. And he says moonshots live in the gray area between audacious technology and pure science fiction. Wow. I love that statement. The gray area between audacious technology and pure science fiction. Couldn't you fit that into your coaching easily? That the breakthroughs that we work in coaching are in between the audacious goals and the fantasies that we're afraid to live or don't feel that it's possible to live? Teller says, instead of a mere 10% gain, a moonshot aims for a 10 times improvement over what currently exists. The combination of a huge problem, a radical solution to that problem, and breakthrough technology just might make the solution possible. It's the essence of a moonshot. You know, if you'd like to know more about this, there is a great YouTube video. It's called Moonshot Thinking, and you might take the time to find that and look at it. A quote from Larry Page, CEO of Google, if you're not doing some things that are crazy, then you're doing the wrong things. That's how he describes why moonshots matter. If you're not doing some things crazy, then you're doing the wrong things. When was the last time you worked with your clients or you yourself did something crazy? How about something crazy like starting an internet radio station? How about something crazy like bringing an NFL team to LA? How about, and you can fill in the blanks. Teller goes on to say, yet our society has many ways of telling us to play it safe. We say, walk before you run, slow and steady wins the race. Under-promise and over-deliver. And in repeating these mantras, we're not training ourselves to think big. Everyone thinks moonshot thinking isn't for them. We relegate the big thinking to someone else or some other organization instead playing a weird kind of not-it game. The small companies and startups think moonshots are for big companies because it takes a ton of money and resources they don't have. The big companies think it's for small companies because it takes a ton of risk tolerance, which they can't afford. Government organizations are under pressure to show immediate results on pressing popular problems, so the long-term visions are hard for them to justify funding. And while academics love expansive long-term thinking, Their job is to publish the ideas and spread them, but to not do the system building itself. They can describe moonshots, but they don't think it's their job to take it on. So then who's going to do the moonshots? It's not the small companies. It's not the big companies. It's not the governmental organizations. It's not academia. I'll tell you who it is. It's you. It's me. That's who's going to do the moonshots. Let me give you Google's formula. This is so simple. And then talk about how we can use this same formula in our coaching for a moonshot. Google says there's 3 points, 3 steps to a moonshot. 1, pick a big problem. Something huge, long existing, or on a global scale. You know, let me just comment that many times when we start our coaching engagement, the client's not really clear about what they want out of coaching. Now, I always like to work with the client to establish some realistic, measurable goals in our first month of coaching. And this sort of sets the bar to measure coaching success. This lets them justify the time and the money that they're spending for coaching, that if we accomplish these things, the ROI is significant enough that, hey, they look at it and say, coaching was a worthwhile event. Having said this, this doesn't mean that we have truly identified the moonshot issues that could be life-changing. It isn't going to happen in the first 1 or 2 or 3 meetings. The moonshot happens after you get closer to the client. You don't walk up to somebody on the street and say, "What's your moonshot?" You know, you have to prep. You have to sort of prime the pump. You have to. One of the things we do in coaching is we work with the client to get them down the road in their thinking. And how do we do that, you know? Well, Google's method is, step 2, it involves articulating a radical solution, one that would actually solve the problem if it existed, a product or service that sounds like it's directly out of a sci-fi story. That's the way they do it. Well, I think that's what we have to do as coaches. We have to look at the big ideas, but then they have to be matched up with, is there a somewhat realistic or possible solution to those things? And what is it that stands in the way of those solutions? The biggest obstacle to creative thinking is assumptions. Some of which we're aware of, some of which we're not even conscious that we're living with. And as a coach, it's up to us to explore with the client and to get these assumptions out in the open so they can be evaluated. You know, I'm constantly reminded, just on a very small scale, somebody will call me up and say, "Doug, I'm thinking of hiring John Smith, and I see on his resume that he worked for your building company. What do you think?" And my assumption is, okay, I can tell them what I think about John Smith. And then I have to stop and say, wait a minute. I got out of the building business 20 years ago. I don't know how John Smith has changed in 20 years, but I'll bet you he's not the same person he was 20 years ago. So my assumptions about John Smith are no longer valid. They need to be reevaluated. They need to be looked at. Okay? That's our role as a coach, is to expose those assumptions that we have about what is possible and what isn't possible, so that the big idea with some laundry list of possible solutions, that the solutions are at least somewhat realistic, but that they're not discarded because we think they're unrealistic because of our wrong assumptions. Step 3 in Google's method is, finally, there needs to be some kind of concrete evidence that the proposed solution is not quite as crazy as it first seems. Something that justifies at least a closer look at whether such a solution could be brought into being if enough creativity, passion, and persistence were brought to bear. That's what we're talking about here with coaching. We're talking about, is there enough of a commitment to the idea? Most ideas, at least in my experience, most big ideas, breakthrough ideas, whether it's a product, whether it's a process, or whether it's a system, whatever it is, fail not because it was a bad idea, they fail because there's no commitment to make them succeed. There's no passion behind making them succeed. So as a coach, what we have to do is we have to line up that passion with the problem and with the solution. You know, you're listening to me today on a radio station that wouldn't exist if it wasn't for the passion that the producer, Paul Roberts, had for making this thing work. Somebody else could have done all of the initial steps that he did and looked at it and said, not much of a return here. I think I'm going to quit this. But he wanted it to succeed. He wanted it to work. He wanted to spend his time on it. He was passionate about making this work. And as a result, hey, we're here today. It works. So that's what we have to look at in coaching is we have to not only match up those big problems, those potential solutions, we have to match them up with the passion that exists in the person to make them really effective. What's critical here is that we as coaches are not attached to any one solution or even to the fact that there is a solution. It's our job to help the client think, to evaluate assumptions, to look at things with a different perspective. It's not our job to come up with a solution. Our job is to help with the process. The client's job is to execute and come up with a solution. And, you know, I think new coaches misinterpret that so many times. They think that their only job is to ask questions, that they can't ever give any opinions, they can't volunteer any information, they can't share any experiences. And you know what? They're right if what they're trying to do is to give the client a solution, but they're wrong if they're not giving the client information that would help them look at things from a different perspective, that would help them help expose some of their assumptions that may not be valid, would help expose assumptions that they don't even know that they're living with. So those are the things that we're thinking about. Teller goes on and says, why focus on moonshot thinking? Isn't it enough to work harder to collectively solve problems to make the progress we need? And he says, actually, no, not really, because we might be solving the wrong problems. These moonshots aren't just for the few experts in some inner circle. What if we could replace all that effort on the wrong problem with the bravery to change the very question itself? Often, if you step back and apply enough audacity and creativity, the new perspective you get makes doing the impossible possible. The moonshots suddenly become possible. You know, let me just switch over and pull a comment out of this interview with Malcolm Gladwell. He's talking about the question was, what do you write about? And he says, you know, he's been writing about interesting topics. He says, his unique perspective comes from looking at people and events that fascinate him, yet are often removed from his personal experience. He says, I'm an outsider. When I write about these things, I'm not bound by any of the assumptions and preconceptions within the field. I'm just looking at it as a kind of tourist, and that's very freeing. What a great perspective to have on looking at issues. I'm not bound by the traditional rules and regulations. I'm not bound by the preconceived ideas. I'm not bound by what has gone before me. I'm just a tourist traveling through, looking at what's there and drawing my own conclusions that are totally independent of what may have been done before. What a great way to approach your day. What a great way to look at new things. How many times have you written off working on some idea because you were not an expert in that field? Because it wasn't your field. It wasn't what you were trained in. You know? Get in there. Look at that field as a tourist. You may find ideas that are totally unrelated. You know, one of the fascinating things I used to do, it's harder to do these days because I read so many things electronically. I used to make sure that I always stopped at Barnes & Noble at least once a month, browsed through the magazine sections, and picked up a handful of magazines that were magazines I had never read before about topics of which I had no interest. Knitting, 4-H club memberships, model building, whatever it was. And as I took these magazines back and thumbed through them, you know, it was, I looked at them, in Glidewell's words, as a tourist, because I didn't know, I didn't have the background in what they were talking about. Instead, I just looked at them with the curiosity as to, what are they doing? What are they talking about? What are the breakthroughs in this field? What's going on? And along the way, I would see ways in which to adopt things they were doing in my field. I would see ways to use things I was working on in their field. I was able, I think, to make breakthroughs or connections that someone who was in the field would have a harder time making because they're so bound by all of the preconceived ideas, all of the assumptions, everything that's gone before them. Whoever would have thought that the RDF chips that are used to track packages would also be used to track cattle? You know, those the little magnetic, the encoding that's used to figure out where parcels are going. All right, so what I was saying is we're talking about application of ideas in ways that weren't expected, and we're talking about the RDF chips that are used to track packages around the world so you know where your package is, when it left Florida, when it's going to arrive in Santa Ana, wherever. Whoever would have guessed that those same chips would be used by ranchers to be implanted in a cow's ear so that they could look on a screen and find out where their cattle was on the ranch and know that, hey, a blizzard's coming up and those cows out on the West 40 need to get moved in because that's a bad place for them to be. Or we missed a bunch of cattle in that draw over there that we didn't see, but they're showing up here on our monitor. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about that ability to step back and make connections that aren't normally made. And that's what coaching is all about. That's what I think we do. We guide the client through that process of finding out what they're passionate about, reinforcing and holding them safe while they're thinking about whether they can do it, helping to expose the assumptions that are blocking them, and helping them to look at things from a different perspective so that they can come up with a solution that they can execute. Well, let me just kind of wrap up what Teller's talking about here. He says, we can train ourselves to make moonshot thinking not an occasional thing, but a habit of the mind. No one really knew how to build an airplane when they decided to build the first airplane, but they kept going and achieved it. And we can ask the same hard, slightly crazy question of our own and declare our own moonshots as individuals and as groups. But we need to do more to encourage moonshots in progress. We're great at celebrating innovation when it's already done, when the results are tallied, and when the benefits are obvious. Moonshots, however, don't show results immediately. They take enormous persistence and willingness to take substantial risks over long periods of time. So we should make sure those who have been brave enough to enter this kind of race have us there besides them. Are you listening, coaches? That's our role. We're there besides these people. Celebrating the audacity itself, regardless of whether they ultimately succeed. I love the fact that I have that role to play. One last quote here for today, and this one is from Malcolm Gladwell's interview. He says, I write for people who are curious and who don't mind having their beliefs challenged. He says, I don't shock people's belief systems, but I do nudge them sometimes. Some people are fine with that, and those are my readers. Let me restate that the way I hear it in my mind. I coach people who are curious and who don't mind having their beliefs challenged. I don't shock their belief system, but I do nudge them sometimes. Clients that are fine with that are my clients forever. Well, that's what we're talking about here today. We're talking about moonshots. We're talking about the huge role that you play as coaches, as parents, as mentors, as advisors, to help people, to guide them, to support them, to make their moonshot, whether it's a moonshot to go to the moon or whether it's a moonshot to go over the house, whatever it is that they want to do. So I've really enjoyed talking to you about that, and I think that we have a lot of great information to talk about through the rest of the month. Let me just mention, as we get ready to wrap up here, that the ICF Orange County October chapter meeting is going to be October 10th. It's at the Wyndham Hotel in Costa Mesa. That's on Avenue of the Arts. And the topic is how to stay out of ethical and legal hot water as a coach. And we'll be listening to Tina Elliott and to Mark Klein, experts in the field. Not a normal topic, but one that maybe keeps you awake once in a while that you need to think about. Well, look, be sure to tune in again. We're on the air live every Thursday at 4 p.m. on octalkradio.net. Also look for our weekly newsletter out on either late Wednesdays or early Thursdays to find out more about our guests. If you're not getting this, go to my website or drop me an email. That's the easiest way. Drop me an email to Doug at the Coaching Perspective and say, hey, put me on the list. So this is Doug Gefeller signing off. I hope you've enjoyed the show today and that the discussion has provided you with new ideas and information that you can use to identify and achieve your goals right now. Make your moonshot.
And learn how to press buttons in the way here. You've been listening to the only show that talks about business in a different way. The Coaching Perspective with Master Certified Business Coach Doug Gefeller, right here on Orange County's only community radio station, octalkradio.net.